Hello! Welcome into episode 181 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a Caithness section, leather with battle worn, whoops, crack, swap section, maybe me section, shoppy section, and a dram section with a Glen Orchy blended malt whiskey. This episode is kindly sponsored from my lovely, lovely friend Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders. Run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad Gerald, they have a wealth of experience in the weaving and textile trade, over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top quality tartan, tweed fabric along with other Scottish goods and apparel including Highland wear to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to the requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on the website, give her a call. The number is on the website www.scotchtweed.co.uk and is a UK free phone number. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what the crack is in Caithness this week.
The Caithness section.
Caithness segment. This follows on from the last episode. If any of you are new listeners, hello, welcome in. But this is part two. You've not missed too much, but I'll recap. And, well, if you're really wonderful, you might want to go back and listen to episode 180, and this will make so much more sense. So, Scooby-Doo, ba-doo-ba-doo, ba-doo-ba-doo. Ourselves back in time to Wick in 1859, August to be exact. And this is the Monday after the war started. After a wee boy from Lewis drops his orange fruit and a big boy from Pulteney Town side of Wick and picks it up, huge fight commences, resulting in some Lewis men being taken to jail and the police being called. Fast forward to Monday morning, 9 a.m. Nobody likes that time of day. But the streets of groups of men waiting for the trial, and the chief constable, the captain, the provost and the reverend, probably the candlestick maker too, spoke out asking for dispersal. No. They were there. The crowd. The magistrates then let two people out on bail to try and stop any further violence, but the crowd grew and fighting began. And this was without the drink. And then at noon on a Monday, there was the normal drill organised already of the retired soldiers. They formed up on the bridge and this got rid of the crowd and all was well with most patrols. So no fishing was done and the town was pretty quiet, people indoors or some lingering outside in groups throughout the week, which would you imagine great injustice being felt from everyone. The sheriff wired Edinburgh for assistance of soldiers who would arrive on the Saturday morning. They were then included in a council of war. I wonder if they had war been on. Maybe, 1859. And then they got up a flying squad with the intention of swooping Upper Pulteney Town to bring in Highlander who was inciting violence and had committed a serious assault but couldn't be found. Oh dear. Not much happened throughout Saturday and then just before 10 o'clock news was received that four men had been stabbed in Pulteney Town. The sheriff set out his men but mobs were already out and starting to attack the lawmen. Who needed the Wild West when you've got the Wild Far North? The law now consisted of the blue jackets of the army, the navy, the police from the Wick and the Pulteney side, because they were separate entities then. It turns out that some local big boy Pulteney tuner had started chucking stones at the Highlander boats in the harbour, and then it escalated from there after the police stopped them. The crowd went up to Bridalbum Terrace, which runs along the Bray from the harbour. People had come out their doors to see what was going on, and but they sadly got stabbed for their curiosity in a mass indiscriminate stabbing. Thankfully nobody died, but I'm sure it must have been a really horrible evening. The soldiers took a hard line now and cleared the streets. Many of the locals were so ashamed of the cowardly behaviour of the attacks that they put down their weapons and carried the injured into their own houses to care for them. Women seemed to take the lead on this, because we're good that way, and the doctors were called and calm was restored. The following week saw heightened patrols and one Alexander Reed of Ulster was arrested and tried, but mostly the trouble stopped. The Highlander fleet reduced drastically early for the season, went home, and then the next year nothing more was done or said about the War of the Orange. Well, the good thing was that the police in Wick and Pulteney worked closer together, and I got to read you the story.
Now for the blather.
The blather? The aftermath. Yeah. We've mostly all been there. Sat in the corner, looking at the aftermath of what we started with great intentions. Some of us, great time. Fantastic time. Others, fear for our sanity, wishing that we were in fact somewhere else. Oh, it was a great party at the time, but man, my head is suffering today. Never again, we cry. When, really, who are we kidding? Of course there's going to be an again. Well, no, I'm not actually talking about my tasting of the 6 drams last New Year, or your work's Christmas party. I'm actually talking about my latest cowl knitting. Oh yes, the battle plan was, I started it to match my purple hoodie. I have a teal cowl that matches perfectly with my teal hoodie, and I wanted a purple cowl. I took out the purple yarns in my stash and I wound the fingering weight, which is what the pattern asked for. Then came off my battle plan and I took out other purple yarn. I thought, ooh, that's a slightly better one. It matches better, but it's worsted weight. I know, I'll use a thicker needle. All will be fine. I'll beat this enemy. Battle one sees me cast on with too short a needle and they keep falling off the ends. I mean, they're nice kit. Being my Knit Pro Zings, but they were just too short. Battle 2 is when I realised that I had twisted it and it was now a Mobius. I did not want a Mobius. Retreat, retreat to the start. I lose ground as I rip it right to the beginning. Sending for reinforcements, I engage a circular needle and I cast on again. I get over the trench beyond the line from before. I engage stitch markers and beads. We then have a stalemate because I get to the end of this row and I think, those beads I chose don't actually go onto this thicker yarn at all easily. In fact, irritatingly not at all good. Humph. Then the experienced old general whispers in my ear, use the other beads. Just go round the row, unknitting the one bead stitch, slip the other ones. You can do this, Sergeant. Yes, ma'am, I can. So, I beat back that enemy one stitch at a time, and now I'm well beyond it. Battlefront, make me a cowl is going well. I will tell you more when I've won the war. If you fight with your knitting or any of your craft, regroup. Go into your war room and look at the options. Do you really want this item? Are you using the best tools for the job? Is it the pattern? Because there might be errata in there. Is it user error? Do you need to reread the instructions on that weapon launcher? This is not the movies where they all know instinctively how to fire that at the baddie's helicopter. Boom! End of film. Me, I would be going, how on earth does this work? Oh yeah, there's the instructions written in small print but in the wrong language. Then the baddie's helicopter, poot, 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 poot. Dead me. Is it the right yarn? What is really bugging at your internal voice about this? Listen to others' advice. Go with your gut instinct as well. The best thing is to walk away. Fight this battle another day. This knitting won't kill you in your sleep. You will be okay to leave it and come back to it refreshed. Don't leave it too long, and if you do plan to do that, could be a good war strategy. Mark your place well in the pattern before you do walk away. But for goodness sake, whatever you do, dinna be fighting over an orange. We can buy them at the supermarket these days. The Kiviet or the silver yarn from Tiffany's, that's a different story. Now, maybe we'll have a little lighter giggle and make us smile for a second. So here is the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello, 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 hello.
A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever, listeners. I very, very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you're enjoying yourself. A Sandy hello to new group member, M Wink. Hello. Random hellos are to Ivy Fox, who is a Been With Me Forever listener, Deirdre Mary, Ancestor Lady, Ditsy Fitzy, Penguin Princess, Arrowsmith, It's Miss M.
What's the crack, Citrin?
What's the crack? Today's John O'Groat Journal has a headline that says, Plans afloat to launch a new sea link to Shetland, from Caithness. This is a tentative plan that they have hatched for the old Pentolina ferry, car, roll-on, roll-off ferry, to go through the summer up to Shetland from Caithness. That sounds great to me because I've never been. Shetland Wool Week plans could finally come to fruition. Possibly, because I know it's not quite summer. Maybe not next year, but future years. Maybe. Cool. Ooh, exciting. I am delighted that the Knitting Dish video cast has started up again. Love Mary's sense of fun and charm. She's a wonderful knitter and I really am looking forward to more episodes soon. If you've never watched her, do go over to Knitting Dish and laugh your socks off at her, especially when she gets the puppets out at the end. I was also watching Hawthorne Cottage video cast and Luli's video cast one day. Very much enjoyed those and I'm looking forward to their next episodes. Kate from Hawthorne Cottage is from Belfast and Luli is Antipodean and lives in Yorkshire. The Twin Set Design Podcast had their 99th episode and, well, Knit British has had 97 and she's planning on her 100th in January, so wow, wow and wow again. How lucky we are to have such talented and generous crafters in our world, listeners. I hope you will join me in wishing them all the best in their century episodes and thank them for their services to podcasting. Louise has done so much for British yarns and local to you knitting, I just can't tell you. And Aileen has announced that she's standing down as the co-host of the Twin Sets and will now appear as a guest. I'm kind of struggling to find a positive spin on this as I try to, because something's very sad to me. I will miss hearing you regularly, Aileen. I know you're not beholden to us because I'm not beholden to you, listeners, but Selfish Louise will really, really miss you. I'm really glad that she's at the other end of my WhatsApp and promise you won't scuttle off and never be with Jan ever again. I did laugh out on Ravelry that we can now write a subliminal message when we are posting in a new thread. Subliminal message? Oh, I think Casey must listen to me. Subliminal message. Keep up the good work, Ravelry team. We love you all. Subliminal message over. So I subliminally messaged Aileen to design me a Tunisian crochet hat. And guess what? She did. Well, she made one for her. And I'm hoping that she'll make the pattern available for us lesser mortals who can't actually design. And then I can have my set of Tunisian crochet mitts, cowl and hat. Because it's such a warm and cosy and lovely design. I've also been watching Nadia from Cottage Notebooks Instagram live dailies. I've only really watched old Instagram lives as in were live earlier but aren't anymore. One day I was like, oh, Nadia's live now. Clicked on. It's actually quite cool when you get to ask a question in real time and she answers you. You should try that, either on Facebook Live or Instagram Live with somebody. I even then toyed up the idea of doing it myself, but then I'd have to tidy up myself and the house. It's currently not going to happen. But Nadia has, and she is lovely. She's down in Dublin and she does an audio podcast normally, The Cottage Notebook, but she's doing Instagram and Vlog December, can't remember what it's probably called. And I have tried Instagram story myself. I love Clara Park's Insta stories. She's very funny and she's loads in there, worth watching. And I very much like Fluff Fibers Leona too. I have so far managed to show you me in Storm Caroline, but it wasn't exactly how I wanted it to look. I still need to learn how to do that. Mel of Mel Ski Knits fame was trying to teach me. She said, send it to me. Just, and then you can send it to everybody. But instead of me sending my practice one, I send it to everybody. And apparently Daisy was using it the other day. So Gemma Thompson told me. Daisy loves the Facebook faces that you can make with stories on there. And she sends hundreds to her dad. I didn't realise she'd done it on Instagram too. I don't actually think her dad opens many of them. But to be honest, she's 9. So yeah. I will endeavour to find someone close to me who can show me how to work it, Otherwise, Scully is you when I get to Edinburgh. Loch Ness Nip Fest dates have been announced for next year. They are the 19th to the 21st of October. And I'm hoping that they're going to get an even better, warmer venue. Because, well, it's no secret, I wasn't much of a fan of the ice rink, but I did like the event. I have got out the library two very good books I thought I would mention. I'm not going to review them because I'd like to get this episode out, and it would take another 3 days to do if I did. Last Friday, the Burns were home from school because of Storm Caroline and its aftermath. And the Friday before, I was delayed on account of poor Sandy was fail at Scouts. He was offered a piggyback and the big boy dropped him. The big boy did it and ran away. Although he didn't do it, he was a nice boy and Sandy likes him, so we didn't have to send a team round and sort him out. I wouldn't do that. Honestly, I wouldn't. But it was an accident, so spent 3.5, maybe 4 hours in A&E to find out. No, he hadn't actually broken or fractured anything. And it was sore for a good week and a half, but I think he's kind of gotten past that. So I was delayed in that fact, and I just generally want to get this out. As usual, the show notes will be with it, but probably not the same night. Back to these books. It will do you no harm at all if you were to find Custom Socks by Kate Atherley, if you don't already have these, and also Circular Knitting Workshop by Margaret Radcliffe. Both are extremely detailed source and instruction books, and if you need to be able to concentrate to say to get the most out of them, or you can reference back to them. And both actually come with nice patterns after going through some really detailed instructions and tutorials. Of course, Christmas Day is fast approaching, and the question, are you all organised for Christmas? Is said nearly every time you see somebody else. No, listeners, no, I'm not. Not at all. I've not finished making cards, or writing any. I've written one. I've even bought a box of cards, to which Richard's mum looked pained at me and went, you've bought cards? I need to write the list of all lists, and then I can start picking things off. The bairns, of course, are having a whale of a time right now. Parties, lunches, Christmas jumper days, and they did a beautiful version of Silent Night at the church service yesterday. They have learned to sing it in Gaelic and German, and they were using their glockenspiels too, which is very sweet. I know some of us get cynical about the season, but I was through the other room of the school when they were practicing, and it was beautiful and innocent. Bairnies playing tinky-tinky-tinky glockenspiels while singing Silent Night. It doesn't get much more aww than that. And then I laughed at Mo, David's mum, who was crying her heart out yesterday at the churches. Whenever the children are doing songs, Sandy has such a miserable face on my, I sit there with a big grin on my face like, smile Sandy, smile. So I never ever feel sad. Mo crying. And then I'm looking at her going, Ma! Oh, poor Mo. She did the crime for me. Also in full swing are Elves on the Shelves. However, there are a few of you who don't like them. When I read that on social media, I thought, oh, okay. Oh well. I did read it. But I'm doing it for my bairns and you, Gail. I've had so much fun with them this year, especially when they drew eyebrows on us all. Hearing Daisy scream, you've got eyebrows painted on you, Grandma! Almost made me pee the bed. Thankfully, I didn't pee the bed because it's me that has to clean it up. I have a small rant about social media. I know, I don't normally rant. I noticed this past week that, well, some crafty people forget that their customers read their social media feeds, and it might not be a thing to complain about them, or when it comes to repeat business, you may lose it. I'm less likely to endorse someone's business if they do that to me, so possibly rein back on letting rip on something that everyone can see. I mean, that goes back at me as well, because I sell things. I have a dog that I moan to, or a harbour I can say it out loud to if I really need to, and if I really must, certainly not on social media, moan about a customer. On the other foot, I would say as customers we must support our crafty businesses and remember there is a person at the end of the tweet or message. It does go both ways. Be professional both ways. Rant over.
The swap section.
Swap. The annual Christmas or winter decoration swap thread should be all sent and received. I've made mine and I'm very chuffed, and I was going to make another one. But Purple Polly Pocket beat me to it. I sent her a wee knitted snowman walking in the air. And it was from a magazine which had the Festive Friends pack on the front of it. I didn't actually buy the magazine for the front cover because it's acrylic. But the pattern is very cute and I thought, oh, that's going to be perfect for my swappy Purple Polly Pocket and her reburn. It took no time at all to make him, albeit when I was reading the instructions for the brown hat, I was thinking that was doing an arm at the time and was using white. But there's hardly any knitting in that bit, so it was so easy to rip back. I did use the tip for stuffing, and I used a pencil with a broken point, and fantastic. I also made her a wee, for her tree, a wee triangular bird made from Christmas fabric, and then I hand embroidered on it. I'd sewn it together before I realised that I should have sewn the beak on when I sewed it together first. So I then stuck it on, and then I was panicking it was going to fall off, but she said it managed to survive, thankfully. It's got a really bonny gold tassel for its tail. Didn't photograph very well though, which is a shame because I thought it was so sweet. I loved it. And then Daisy and I found some more feathers to make some more. And then when I went to actually make them, I sewed it wrongly and I wasn't in the mood to fix it. So they're all sitting up there still. I also sent some more stitch markers, a bar of Caithness chocolate, a tea towel from Jonah Groats, and I even managed to wrap them and send them in a whiskey box. Mainly because it was the sturdiest box I could find. And also, my Christmas card I made probably had the most work out of all of it, but you wouldn't think so. A good few years ago, we had a piece of stiffening fabric called Luchador, and it dyes lovely. I painted it and layered up things, and then sewed over organza, then zigzagged over it all. I cut it up and mounted it onto blank card, and then put a peel-off sticker over it, which actually I think maybe hid all its glory. However, I know I did it, and now you do too. And hopefully it hasn't fallen off because the double-sided sticky tape wasn't as sticky as I was hoping it would be. So Purple Polly Pocket, hopefully it hasn't fallen off. Now these are my Christmas cards this year and there's not that many of them. It's funny how I can whip up a snowman and a bird quickly, but this card took years in the planning. I'm going to send them all away too. Isn't that just the thing? Although my friend Sarah said that she still has my card from years ago when the bairns were small that I had used a plaster paste on a stencil. I was thinking about them doing them this year, but my plaster paste is all dried up. And I thought, I'm not going to buy any more just now. I noted a fair bit of my card making things are perishing. Granted, they're all older than Sandy, but still, use it up, lovely crafters. I thought, well, that's going in the podcast. If you aren't into card making anymore, pass it on to someone who will use it and have enormous fun with it. And then you will have more room for more things that you will use. So that was my Christmas decoration swap. So on to the rest of them. I was, as usual, blown away with the rest of yours. Ellen sent Ella a purple dragon, and for Ella, there is no other colour. Our love goes to Melissa and her charming family, who sadly lost their mother-in-law and grandma. She was so touched to receive her wee jumper decoration and some other wee gifts from TurboCal Lisa. I'm very thankful to be part of this reason that you got to this in the post when you needed a hug, Melissa. Actually, that reminds me that I must knit a jumper decoration for Louise Knit British's bunting. I'm on that train, Louise. It's just delayed with the wrong snow on the tracks as yet. Wool and Flute received a most beautiful Dorset button from Poked a Goblin with beads on it too. I instantly thought of Tanya of TG Frog, whose podcast is very good, so everybody go listen. We smile at each other in the podcast. Hello, Tanya. I'm smiling too. I was smiling when you said, are you smiling? I was like, yes, we're all smiling. It's like smiling everybody. Everybody smile. Yes, you, sitting on the bus looking grim. It's Monday morning for you and you're bored. And you're doing, oh, got another week of work. Smile. You did, didn't you? Oh, dear. Look at the crazy lady on the bus. Oh, you feel better now. In return, Wool and Flute sent a mistletoe decoration with a moose in a canoe. Frances Wool and Flute is amazing at good Canadian gifts. I wish you could all get to meet her and see how she actually lovely she is. Then we came to FRK Strick and Joy of Chicks swap. So Layla sent Lorna a beautiful folded ribbon decoration and some sweeties, and in return received a fantastic gnome. I'm big into gnomes and sweeties. Hello, little boy, would you like some sweeties? As my cork gnomes came out of hibernation the other day, because of course they're real, and I have to keep them high on the tree, as last year I did not, and Buchel has a thing for corks, whether or not they have clothing on them or not. Actually, he nearly ate baby Jesus last night. So I'm pausing for effect here. So as part of the Bairns' Christmas homework, amongst other things, they had to make a nativity scene out of anything, any media, and they set up a shoebox with Ken and Barbie for Joseph and Mary, a horse for the donkey, and then they couldn't find their wee dolly baby, who was actually hiding behind the TV, of all places. I mean, where else would baby Jesus be kept? So Sandy thought he would get a cork and dress it. So instead of getting the hot glue gun out, I said, here, just use a drawing pin and stick it. Mainly because I was too lazy to go upstairs and get the glue gun hotted up just for a spot of glue for baby Jesus. And then the box of, well, Daisy cut up some white paper for straw. It's hilarious. Just the cork. Loved it. So it sat on the table for a little while and then somehow ended up under Daisy's bed. That's where she tidied it. And last night, Buchel came in for Bedtime Stories. We just finished The Girl of Ink and Stars by Karen Millwood Harwood, which both Sandy and Daisy enjoyed. Buchel starts scuttling out of the room looking suspicious, and I thought he's got something in his mouth and says, what have you got there? Looks at me with his glowering eyes. Mm-hmm. What have you got, Buchel? Mm-hmm. Buchel spit it out. He's actually not too bad at giving out his prey anyway. And poor baby cork Jesus was lying there. So I've put him high up now out of Buchel's reach. Anyway, I love these decorations between Joy of Chicks and FRK Strick. And Joy of Chicks has written a delightful blog post on swaps, of which she has taken part of a few of mine. Do go have a read and look at her gnome. I must make one of those. Which is not code for someone make me one. I must make me one. Silver Spring Knit received a lovely knitted bird, which looks quite complicated, from Granola Mum. For those of you who have not put up a photo, it's not mandatory. Just make sure that you tell your swappie that you got your parcel and on the board, please. But I do actually like the photos of the decorations. And what did I get? Oh, well, listeners, are you sitting comfortably? Then I shall begin. Purple Polly Pocket is a kind and generous soul. I want that noted. She sent me a snowman. He is now part of our snowman gang run by Olaf, who tries to keep them away from Elfie and cheese graters, but he failed miserably last night and the poor things ended up in the blender. And there was marshmallows at the bottom of the blender this morning. Purple Polly Pocket's snowman was made from the Sue Stratford Mini Christmas Knits, which is a wonderful little book which she sent me. I love Sue's work, having met her at Edinburgh, and I bought her Puffin Kit and British Birds book. So I was just delighted that I got her Mini Christmas Knits book too. I also got a book called Counting Sheep by Philip Walling, and it's my lunchtime reading book just now. It's absolutely fascinating learning more about sheep. I thought I knew lots, but no. Of course I didn't. I'm hilarious in my ignorance about sheep. I now know the history of the North Wolsey sheep and how iodine is made from sea kelp. And it was huge business back in the day, and then it went bust. And then the sheep were put out on the shoreline with a wall to keep them off the crofts. A wall to keep them out, listeners. I knew this, but I didn't really thought much about it. We had Storm Caroline last week, as I've mentioned, it's 90 mile an hour winds on our north coast. We lost a couple of tiles, but thankfully nothing else kept power. But I was thinking of the sheep stuck on the other side of the wall. It's like Game of Thrones. Oh, I'm sure they have shelters, but what hardy beasts they must be. I will continue with these tidbits as I read through this book. See, Purple Polly Pocket has given us all a present. Podcast folder. She also sent a Timeous? A very timely present of two hand warmers and a hand warmer cover, which is in Fair Isle. Now, who is the numpty here that forgot to boil it ready for this use this morning because we had ice baby everywhere? Me, I was the numpty. I was in 4 layers of wool and, oh, was it cold. My poor mum fell on the ice yesterday, but thankfully hasn't broken anything, and she did get quite a fright and a bump. So she went to the council and reported it, and she wasn't the only person that fell there too. This is one of the results of austerity, of the decreased man hours and lack of salt in their grit. Caithness is an ice rink. I'm sad about this, listeners, and I know it's not just my region. I send out warm love to you all so that wherever you place your feet just now, the ice will thaw in front before you touch it. And I'm that warm, I can share it as Purple Polly Pocket has sent me also a pattern. Last episode, I was talking about hats, and I mentioned Erica Hauser's Passerine hat, which has birdies sitting on a branch, and it's just delightful. I've been looking through my stash for yarn for it already. Richard was fed up with me going, "Do you like this? Do you think this is a good birdie colour? Do you think this goes with it? What colour do you think will go good with that? Look, it's got flakes of this colour in it too." The pattern uses fingering weights in yarns like Knit Picks Palette and Madeline Tosh. I think I've got some Madeline Tosh that's going to work. Wow, Erica Hauser has some lovely patterns, doesn't she? Again, that's not a hint, but you go look. So thank you everybody for taking part in the annual Caithness Craft Christmas Decoration or Winter Decoration Swap.
The Beaker Section.
Me section. Yay! Ring the bell. I finished my Fireflies Rising shawl by Helen Stewart. I've actually been listening to her this week. I used Wandering Wool sock weight in Merino Cashmere Nylon in an inkblot black colour. I bought this when I was in Washington DC last year with Nora and the beads as well. I didn't actually get the last 3 rows made because I started playing yarn chicken. And I was weighing the small ball that I had left as I knitted a row and thought, I think I'll better cast off because I'm at 3 grams and I was left with 1 gram. I am never happy because I felt a tiny bit cheated. I didn't finish the pattern. But it really didn't make much of a difference because it was just another couple of rows of rib. And I'm absolutely delighted because I used the majority of the yarn up. So yeah, I'm never happy. Plus, I need a wee tote of black and grey for the Marvel toys that I'm crocheting. So I've blocked out the shawl and I was surprised at how shallow it was. Because, you know, I felt like I was doing a lot of knitting on this, but I think it was maybe lost in the long rows. It's a crescent shape and whilst Helen likes the curls at the end, I'm never really all that keen on them. I think my favourite shape of shawl is either a triangular or a rectangular wrap. But that's not going to stop me making future ones, certainly not ones that I've got in my queues and in my pattern library. Plus, when I went to wear this, Helen obviously knows things because it sits really lovely at my neckline on lots and lots of jumpers or tops. I was wearing it today, again. And also it can get stuffed into my handbag too, because it's not too big when I get too warm. I really like this yarn, the Wandering Wool sock weight, and I'm glad that I made the pattern. I wouldn't maybe rush and make another one anytime soon because I think I'm not a long row fan, but I say that with everything. I like how I put beads in it though, and I like her pattern percentage right and how you can tick it off, even when I've seen last episode, oh, I've still got 25% to go. But it's wonderful when you have 10 rows to go and you're starting to run out of yarn and you can really screw the nut on working out what you can and can't do. And I've been listening to Helen a lot this week, catching up. She's a gentle lady and I'm looking forward to seeing her in Edinburgh next year and seeing what stylish things I can aspire to next year. Hopefully that she's there. She says she is, but you never know. I would never be able to keep up with all her patterns, but I love seeing them made on Instagram. Plus, every time I wear this, I can remember and think of lovely, lovely Nora and our fun day in Washington, D.C. It is really one of my trip highlights. Also, looking at the fireflies rising when I looked across and said, "Cindy, my eyes are going a bit funny. What's that light? I keep seeing them." She says, Louise, they're fireflies. Have you never seen them before? Wow! What wonder I had. Do you get that, listeners, when you go to other countries with the fauna or the wildlife are so completely different from your own? How lucky I am to have both yarn, beads and pattern that, oh, and my project bag from Lovely Gale that go so wonderfully together. In a way, I'm actually going to be quite sad that they don't have that kismet anymore, but I'm sure I'll soon find it. Now, my future plan, as I mentioned, was really to make the breathing space taught by Vera Valamaggi. But, I know, but, well, I was at the school Christmas fair the other day, and, as I said, my children were both wonderful on stage, sang Silent Night and the song that's from the Polar Express. Daisy also played a solo on the flute. She's fair coming on, and I am getting to like the sound now that she's more tuneful. I know, a bad mother. And I happened to say to Naomi, I love your new jumper. And she made it with the alpaca that she bought from Loch Ness Knit Fest. It's beautiful. Sorry, I can't remember the pattern. But suits her. And I said, where's your Christmas jumper? Because I was wearing mine. And she said, I don't have one. I was, oh, you know, we should make one for next year. But a classy one. She says, let's have a knit along. Oh, great idea, said I. But we want classy ones. So, I says, right, you're in charge of finding a pattern. And then we said to Debbie and Sarah, who said they couldn't possibly do it quickly, but we said, well, we all have to do it, and we could do it in a year. Might actually take me a year. Naomi won't. She can do hers pretty quickly, and then she can be helper to the rest of us. You are laughing now, aren't you, Naomi? Because we are. We came down to a couple of suggestions, and I think we're actually going with Arboreal by Jennifer Stainglass, which is quite the trend just now to have trees or branches or leaves in the yoke of a jumper. Get me, I'm trendy. I thought it was the same one that Kate from Hawthorn Cottage was making as her Edinburgh Yarn Fest jumper. But whilst it is a Jennifer Stainglass, it's called Fern and Feather. And she's using it from the book Puget Sound, and she got it when she was over in Rheinbach. That's $26 to get it here. And, well, the Arboreal is close enough for me. I'm going to have to practice how to say that. I don't mind not being quite in the gang. I'm in my own gang. Sometimes in my gang of one. It's like what she sang in The Muppets. The me. Party of me. The Arboreal is a good price this weekend at $8.40 with 25% off, or you can buy three and you get one free, as obviously Jennifer Stainglass is dead nice. Now, my rabbit hole of what yarn to buy for it has opened. I don't have enough double knit in my stash. Ravelry thinks I do, but I don't think I do. I have a couple of ideas, and then deciding on what colours to make, because I need at least two. So I will let you know when I know. And I'm working kind of slowly but methodically on my Woolly Wormhead Scoury hat kit, which I bought at Loch Ness Knit Fest, and you can now buy from Ribble's Craft Shop. I have now got three wedges of eight, as were more than last episode. I'm using washi tape to keep my place, and I'm really finicky when I get to the end of the row and the German short row. So I do get to the end of the row, I knit the stitch, turn the work, put it down in my lap, move the washi tape up, and then pick it back up, count how many I need to do, and start off again. And I will repeat, the washi tape is wonderful for marking up and down patterns. And for those of you not found washi tape, it's really just like masking tape, but with pretty patterns. We like pretty patterns, and it's stationery, and I know you all like stationery because you do. It's just, I've never found a knitter or crafter that doesn't like stationery. If you don't like stationery, no, don't tell me, I can't deal with it. No. Tell someone else. Tell the harbour or the dog. Yeah, that would work. Now, my blather from previous, Scooby-Doo, back in time, was my war and battle cry against the Moonraker cowl. I am actually now using Kismet Fiberworks worsted, which is called Abundant, and it's 80% superwash merino, 10% cashmere, and 10% nylon. I love cashmere. and I've got 230 yards for 100 grams. This yarn has come from Virginia, and I know it was a present possibly from you, Melissa, but forgive me if I'm wrong. And I would like corrected if I'm wrong, as I'm a little upset with myself. I can't remember which generous and wonderful listener has produced this to me, because it is the exact colour of purple that I want for my LL Bean hoodie in purple. So I'm now 10 rows in, and every second row is a bead row. So it's a tad slow and not really in and out, out and about kind of project, but I am enjoying the way it's working out. And my battle plan is being adhered to, and the enemy is my ineptitude. Right, in spinning news? No, non-spinning news. The wheel normally sits on top of Buckle's dog cage, but when the elves moved in at the start, they've moved it out because they don't want it in their vicinity. I have picked out a bat to make, but after the elves go back with Santa, because that's what happens. Crochet. I finished Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy by Kati Galouz yesterday, and he is so cute. He is really little Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, not the big tough one from Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Big difference. It didn't really matter. I used the different colour brown in the end because his head and his arms are the same, and then you have to chain stitch up his legs to make them look like roots, so he kind of looked okay, actually. The arms were really an interesting construction, that you crochet a line, you go back down, and then you go back up the other side of the foundation row, then you go back up again, and then you chain 30 or so long chain, and then you twist what you've made, so it's like you've got four rows together. You twist that together round one way with... I'm using my fingers here. Right. Put your hands in front of you. Pretend that you've got, you're holding a bit of yarn in both fingers. Twist one end, so your right hand, if you're right handed. If it's your left hand, go for your left hand. Like you're turning a screw. So you're twisting that, and then you get this long chain which is attached to it, and you wind it round, and it's supposed to look like vines of Groot, because Groot's a tree. This means nothing to you. Oh, Vienna. But I thought it was a really interesting construction. I think Katia Galouz is really very clever at it. I am Groot. Now, Daisy is delighted, and I've been charming lots of children at swimming whilst they wait on their brothers or sister. So, hello, little boy, would you like to see my Groot? Albeit one little boy said it looked like Stickman by Julia Donaldson. And I was like, well, I think you might be right. Hold on, I googled Stickman. No, he doesn't. He looks like Groot. He is Groot. This is the Marvel Universe crochet pack I got last Christmas. So I've now started Spider-Man, and I'm using the yarn that came with the kit, and, well, I went a little bit wrong on the second leg because I was talking when I was doing it, and I think I've just saved it, just. This is going to be for Sandy, and it doesn't seem so big as Groot. Not that Groot was very big, but Spider-Man's toady. And I also saw on Instagram, Boston Jane has made a baby Groot in his pot plant pot. He's very, very, very cute. And then today in the Ravelry Top 10 is a knitted cardigan by Mary Annarella, and it's called I Am Groot, which is a long cardigan. It's got a really bonny cable detail up the back, and she used Spirit Trail Fiberworks Aran, and this is in a brown speckled yarn, which is Groot coloured. And she has this in her, get this, I love this, Cardigans of the Galaxy series. I laughed out loud when I saw that. It is $8.40, so I thought it was pretty cool. Oh, we're on the sewing front. I was making cushions for my living room in the sewing front. I bought a piece of Harris tweed from the Harris tweed shop on Harris when we were over there in Easter, and it's a brown, light brown spectrum, and it's flakes of blue and red and green in it. And I thought I would make cushions for the whole family can use instead of me putting it in my stash saying, oh, make a skirt, and never making a skirt. So I hummed and hawed for a while about what pattern to use, and then I was looking at my handbag and thought, ta-da, I could make that design. It's a folded technique, sort of like cathedral windows, but not cathedral windows. I'd been on a workshop years and years ago to make this. I couldn't remember how to do it. And I knew I wasn't going to see my quilting friends for a little while because they would have instantly said, oh, that was so-and-so Sunderland and it's called X. So I put a photograph on Instagram and the wonderful babe suggested that it might be from Suzanne McNeil's 10-minute blocks book. In the show notes, when they're finally up, but remember Suzanne McNeil, I will put the link to this on Amazon where you can still buy the book. In fact, you can get the instructions pretty much from the wee zoom-in pages that they show you as a look inside option. And it really, it's only $13 on Kindle. You can get it in print if it's, and it's such a nice pattern once you understand what you're doing. So I'd like to see more of hers actually. I've asked Santa for a Kindle for Christmas. You never know, listeners. Anyway, Mum said, didn't you get instructions at the workshop? And don't you keep them all together like you're supposed to, you messy child? She didn't actually say the last bit, but I felt she did. My inner child was telling me that. You messy child, Louise. Anywho, yes, I did keep the instructions and they were in the exact place that I left them, along with the other quilting patterns that they're supposed to be there. I just now hadn't actually looked. What an umpty. So I measured it out and thought, ooh, well, I've got enough for two, but I don't have enough for four. So I'm going to make two. And I made two in the lovely folded middle square technique. Lots of photographs on Instagram. And I used some batik fabrics for the back. And some of them, I think, were from you, Erica Eccles. Thank you. And there was also some that were going to be a 9-inch disappearing square quilt, which I'm never making. I had out loads of fat quarter bundles, but the batiks were better and just enough for what I wanted. I'm using an envelope style cushion, so if I really have to, I can take out the inserts and hand wash them. I won't be able to machine wash them because they have tweed wool fronts. I got the cushion inserts from Danielle Milnes and they're really lovely and squishy. And they're kind of like 22 to 24 inches across. We had one cushion left on our couch. We were all fine over it. The ones before were very, very old and fallen to bits. And the last one, Buchel has inherited it and the minute it starts shedding fluff, it's going in the fire. I then thought, right, what am I going to do for the third and fourth cushion? I'm generous. We've got one each. I had enough of the Harris tweed left. Oh, hold on. I haven't actually mentioned what else I'm using it with. I'm using some beautiful blue and purple tweed from Scotch Tweed from Angela. Now, I got this from her at my retreat and it's lovely to work with. And it reminds me of her every time I sit on it. Which makes me smile because she's so awesome. Aren't you, Angela? You are. And she finished her mystery shawl from Kirsten Kapoor. She used Black Earth Tamar in pink and green. It is gorgeous. And it's got that lovely matte kind of look to it. And I just love the different way and feel that that's going to have. I can't wait to see it in person again. So that's Ayla and Angela and me as shawl triplets now. Right, so I had a look at Pinterest for ideas for the other two cushions, and whilst it's just a square. I wanted a nice, just a square. I saw a fair few appliqué hairs and Scotty dogs and thought, ooh, I like those. But I'm not sure my appliqué skills would be up to it. I then thought, I might be able to manage a dog. And then I thought, Daisy pulled out a wee kit she had to make small dogs, and there was a template for a terrier that looked kind of like Quattro, but not a border terrier like Buchel. So I looked online and they were too much border. And he's half border, half Lakeland, and weird looking because he's got a small head and a long, tall body as his mum was tall. Well, tall in comparison to Quattro was at the time. Not tall like Groot. And then I said, right, so let's photograph Buchel side on. I couldn't put my hand on a picture of Quattro, and sadly, because he's not here anymore. Not going to work. So took about 20 pictures of Buchel as he followed him around the kitchen. And Sandy tried to get him to stand side on ways for ages. It was funny as anything. I would have tried it on Instagram story, but pretty much mess behind, and laundry. So I didn't. I then got a piece of white paper and I put it over my phone and traced around it. Head, perfect. Body, bit squished. Because I had to move the photo about and it's not quite as long as he actually is. But you know what? It's actually an improvement. And it used less fabric on it. And then I couldn't remember how you applique. So I discussed it with Mum. I ironed on Bond the web to the back, then cut out the template. And then I ironed the dog onto the cushion. And then I tried the satin stitch, which was basically a very short zigzag. My fancy schmancy Elna 660 machine does have 6 or so preset satin stitches, because of course it does, but they're not straight line that you can then manipulate round shapes, and the instructions aren't great for this. So I'm going to ask the next time that I'm sewing day to see how they do this. However, it turned out okay, and I have one on the couch. I am left to do one more and, well, oh, this is typical. I don't quite have enough of the Harris tweed to make exactly the same as the other one. Now, what I should have done, because it was about 9 inches high and 20 inches long. So what I should have done was halved it to 10 inches each and then put blue spacings on both of them, but no. I didn't. So this one, I'm going to put blue spacings on one side of it. But I've got enough for the other dogs. Mainly because Buchel's picture of is shorter. If I had made him longer like he actually is, I wouldn't have managed to get two. So I must have been made to make him littler. Once and it's done, it'll make me a very happy Louise and I will see them and use them a lot. And so will the whole family. Including the dog. I have finally made my own zippy bag, which I am delighted about. I used a piece of tweed for the outside that Joan gave us all but years ago and had some, I don't know, they all made purses or brooches out of it, but I kept mine not knowing what it was for. Then it told me, said I want to be a zippy bag. So I embroidered some chain stitch on and some beads onto one side. And on the inside, I used some William Morris design fabric, which again, Joan gave to me on different occasions. And I did have to put some hand-dyed blue for the zip bindings, but I managed to get the whole lot together reasonably easily. I was a bit worried about the final binding when it gets to the 6 layers of fabric, but it went through it like butter. I think whilst tweed is thicker, it's easier to sew through with it being a woven fabric. I think I did the usual trick I have of sewing the binding on back to front, even though I check it a million times, but I think it needs a million and one. Anyway, the sewing days are now stopped for the holidays, and I haven't used it in anger yet. We had our Christmas lunch today, it was lovely. I love opening up my bag and seeing the William Morris patterns. So Naomi, it's your turn now.
Shopping section.
Shopee section. Thank you so much for your past purchases the past week. I very, very much appreciate that. The shop has currently got Macmillan, Red MacGregor, Robertson, 2 Grants, a Royal Stuart, which is a tartan that you can use if you don't have a clan if you wish, and some silk scarves dyed by me and the microwave. Not too many left though, so hurry down if you want to get one for Christmas, because there's just enough time for me to post it to you. If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft, or you can support the podcast and get nothing back if that's your want, and it is paypal.me/Caithness Craft. Happy to review patterns, yarns, books, notions. If you're in that line, so please do not be shy. Huge thank you to Julia and to Ivy Fox. On to the drams. If you're not into the drinking, well, I've already done the shopping. Thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode because there's only dram stuff now. If you're into the drinking, then stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Glenorchy blended malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Well, listeners, you're welcome into this episode of the Drums. I was going to say, well, episode, come into the listeners. This episode is going to see Richard and I drink a Glenorchy blended malt Scotch whisky. Right, pass me the non-tub.
Non-boxed bottle.
Yes. That is, ooh, a triangular bottle. And it's got a bony thistle on its bridge on one side, Glenorchy embossed on the other. Glenorchy with a stag, hills, ooh, very Scottish, produced in Scotland with stags, black and gold, cream, 70 centilitres, approximately, no, alcohol, 40% volume. Now it says, Glenorchy blended malt Scotch whisky combines a distinct sweetness with enticing fruity flavours and a warming hint of spice. Aged 5 years. Bottle blended bottled in Scotland. No. Distilled blended bottled in Scotland from the finest malt Scotch whiskies. Produced using traditional methods. Aged for 5 years in oak casks. So there is some information here. And... drink responsibly. Ugh, how boring. And this is Ian McLeod Distillers, Russell House, Broxburn.
Oh, that's the bit I was looking for.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Where's Broxburn?
Oh, it's halfway between Edinburgh and Glasgow, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Can you speak tonight?
No, apparently I can't.
not even own the whiskey yet.
Oh. So where did we get this from, Richard?
A very local store called Lidl's. Or Lidl's, or whatever they pronounce it.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes.
So this is their... Well, I was going to say excuse for a whiskey. But we will find out otherwise in a second. Would you like...
Okay, so you've described a bottle. We're going to go for the colour. Very golden.
Very golden. That's a dark Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
That's Winnie the Pooh tromping around the 100-acre wood with... Eeyore and Tigger. It's quite a Tiggery kind of colour, isn't it?
Actually, I'm looking at that because my head's been full of Transformers the last while and it's Transformer oil.
Is this like Transformers the film?
No.
Because they've got an infection.
No.
Right, would you like to pop the cork? It's a really non-poppy cork.
Because it's not.
It's a screw top. And pour the dram. We don't have shares tonight. Or is it because there was nothing left in that bottle?
Making the best.
Right. Sniff. Ooh. Quite harsh.
Pretty sharp.
Aye. Get me, I said something that you agreed with.
Okay, quite a sort of citrusy, kind of sharp.
I think I can...
Acetone kind of...
Yeah. Smell the oak.
Built about it, aye. Aye, oak.
I'm thinking of 100-acre wood.
No, I'm closing my eyes here. You know what?
Winnie the Pooh.
I'm going down Glenorchy.
Looking for some honey.
It's no oak, it's...
Do you get bears in Glenorchy?
Sitka spruce and lodgepole.
They might have the odd bit of oak.
Smelling fresh water, cascading, foam.
I've got two bairns arguing in the back.
No.
And it was raining.
Getting closer to that fresh water. Through the bracken. Ignoring the ticks. Smell the bracken. It's got a distinct smell about the bracken.
Is there? Can you put me some water in this while you go down memory lane?
And then I'm down the riverside. Smell the fish.
I don't want fish in my whiskey.
No.
Oh, we never did colour in the glass. I'd say it was just about the same.
Aye, I see that too.
Right, stands for that.
Hold on, I'm not at the riverside yet. The River Orchy is famous.
That's why it's got a whisky named after it. Now, to me, when I'm drinking that, it is not as harsh as it smells. There's no mega burn. Which I like. I appreciate that. I thought it was going to be awful, but it's not.
Smelling midges. Ben Oodley.
What's Ben Oodley?
Far end of Glenorchy.
Yeah, I like that name, Oodley.
Yeah, I think that's how it's pronounced.
Oodles and oodles of Glen.
I could find out what it means.
Not right now, it doesn't matter.
I've climbed quite a few, few climbs in Benidley. I've seen a big avalanche in Benidley.
Oh, and that's so good. Mm-hmm. So where is Glenorchy, Richard?
It is just in between Tyndrum and Dalmally.
Which is where in Scotland?
Just a bit east of Oban, Argyll and Bute. Coming into, well, it's actually going towards Stirlingshire.
So it's kind of in the middle, kind of.
Yeah.
To the west of the middle.
A bit north and a bit west.
Okay, listeners, go look it up on a map, because then you'll actually know where we're talking. It's very pretty. Last year, I drove through there, mm-hmm. last October.
Just before Stromberry turn off.
Okay.
And you can take a shortcut up to Glencoe.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Bypass Tyndrum and Crianlarich.
We were coming from Glencoe and we were going back to my dad's house when you were cycling the native down, and the bairns argued most of the way through that glen.
It was something in the air that day because they argued
all the way to the
glen. I was like, right, I'm getting out, I'm going to cycle home.
They didn't argue, it was when they were on the donuts and then they were at Glencoe ski placey, and then when we were eating were burgers. That's the only time I didn't argue that day.
And I cycled home.
Yes.
Anyway, so what do you think?
I quite like it actually for being what I didn't expect it to be.
It's not a distinctive flavour, but it's quite a pleasant drink.
It would do wonderfully for a hot toddy.
No, I quite like it, is it?
Was it cheap? I can't remember.
I think it was about £15.
Mm.
I think.
For 5 years old, it's not harsh or nasty.
That's blended mind as well.
Yeah, so there must be some nice blends in there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I like the inference that they have of Glenorchy, because it's not made anywhere near Glenorchy you can tell.
It's a glen they've found that doesn't have a whiskey or distillery associated with it.
And if it was from a distillery near Glenorchy, they should have stated that.
Yes.
To me. Because they do that quite a lot, and Tesco's have some, and Lidl's have some, and Aldi's have some, and they all name a place in Scotland where...
Aye, no one can do them for copyright.
Yeah. Which, I don't know why it irritates me. I think it's because it's got no provenance. It's like yarn.
Yes, if you don't providence.
Know
what I like
it comes
that.
For. Mm-hmm. Right, so have you decided...
I still taste Mitchie's in it, though. Who are you going to have for your dram?
Well, I know we've had them before, and everybody's going to have them, and he probably doesn't drink anymore. But, David Attenborough. Sir David Attenborough. And
the boat or the man?
Oh, I don't think the boat would fit in the kitchen.
You could put it up at the harbour.
Boaty McBoat face. Because we've just finished watching Blue Planet 2 and very, very good. And it left us thinking quite a lot about what
our legacy is, our footprint.
Yeah, legacy.
Footprint on the planet.
Oh, yeah. So I'd just like to thank David for... Because he's my pal. I've called David. Mm-hmm. For... really not really bringing this series to us. I know he was the spokesperson and everything, but he's done it for years and years and years, and without him the BBC wouldn't have such a good natural history programme, and then they wouldn't have such a good impact for what they had. So
do you know, I was thinking about that, and David Attenborough, and obviously he's quite old, and I think he's got a good insight and reflection in his own mortality. Mm. It sounds morbid, this, by the way. But I just look, you see his eyes, he looks sad because he knows what kind of planet he's going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to stamp a wee bit of common sense in people to make a difference
and
to help.
He's inspired Sandy, and he's the next, down the generations.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can inspire younger people,
because if you can inspire an 11-year-old boy, yeah,
it's because he is what he's been and he's done and he's achieved and he's already got legacy that people say that, and it's just an amazing achievement to do that. So who are you having?
Well, I've struggled and struggled to remember the one I really wanted, and I can't remember. I'm going to go for my second choice, but not because I actually want to meet him. Richard Branson.
Oh, I don't want to meet him just now.
I want to sit him down. I want to ask him. As a multi-millionaire, billionaire kind of dude, I want to know what someone with all that money gets off and what they gain, how they can sleep at night suing the NHS for money. I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either.
I want to sit in there and ask him.
Yeah, but then we'd have to, would we have to give him drams? Would it would be a different?
Oh, I'd get him drammed up, aye.
Make him pay for it.
No.
I wouldn't give him.
It'd be a cookie whiskey.
What, Glenorchy?
Worse. Bells. Grace.
Okay, slightly politically, you're a bit. Maybe this Glenorchy makes you a bit grumpy.
No, no, I can smell my juice. It's fine.
Okay. Right, okay. Have you got anything else to say about this dram? Would you buy it again?
I would.
Would you buy it in the bar? I wouldn't.
No, no.
Just buy it for the house?
Aye. When Richard Branson pops out.
Well, he's not really welcome in the house, so.
No, I don't think so, no.
So I'll say that that's all remains to be said. Say, oichiva.
Oichiva. Would you have it again?
If you bought it, I might drink it. But I don't think you should because you get angry with it.
Oh, not this one. It's just that little...
Well, hello, Mr. Richard Branson. You sit there while I look at you.
No, but he's annoyed me.
He's annoyed quite a lot of other people too.
Who was the man?
But my podcast is not about politicalness.
Well, I know, quite right, quite right. And it's got to be completely neutral.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 session. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me splatphone. I'd like to add that all opinions are mine and Richard's, who's standing and staring at me through the glass. I do occasionally get facts wrong, but I try not to and I don't do it on purpose. My email is kathnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as kathnesscraft. You can get the podcast from Podbean's site is www.kathnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The intro is from Hollywood Drunks and here comes Santa Claus. But whatever holiday or celebration or just time off you are about to have, then please have a safe and happy one. And I'll speak to you either before the new year or after, and we'll have time for the annual Caithness Craft Collective party. Thank you very much for listening, and keep on crafting.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen, all his reindeer, pulling all the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings, say your prayers, Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus. Christmas morn again.